Blog Talk Radio.
UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can go to UltimateSportsTalk.com for all the latest news on major sports, plus MMA and WWE. Welcome to Gridiron Beers Radio alongside the beautiful Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez here. Amazing action of playoffs in the women's game all over internationally as well as in the U.S. and Canada. So we're going to touch base on that. And today we're going to have our special guest as well, the champion Chicago Force, All-American wide receiver Jeanette Gray will join us today to talk playoffs, WFA playoffs, going after a back-to-back championship for the Force and hosting the national championship in Chicago. So, Erica, are you on?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Awesome. So, Erica, how's it going out there? I hope you're not snowed in or anything like that. I hope it's good weather.
Yeah, we're good. June's our rainy month, but, you know, we did see some snow this week, but it was short-lived, so that's good. But we don't expect too much weather-wise here in Montana in June, so we're making it through, though.
So, Erica, you have some breaking news and some exciting news on Gridiron Girls, and we are doing a special feature and to the lovely and talented Shelby that we had on. So tell us a little bit about the project for Shelby.
Yeah, I'm excited. After our interview with her a couple weeks ago, I really wanted to, you know, do a write-up on her and just from a little more of a personal angle because I feel like, you know, our discussion with her was, we got some really good questions answered. And so I have my feature all written up and, you know, asked Shelby to review it, and she said she liked it, so we're going to go ahead and publish that tomorrow, so you guys can find that on gridirongirl.org, and the links will be on our Twitter page as well, at gridirongirl.org and at patsfangirl12. So I'm really excited about it. You guys will just, I think you'll just fall in love with her and really be eager to follow her career once you read this.
Sounds like a great piece, and, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer young lady, Shelby Osborne. I mean, she's going to do great things, and that's all we expect. But like she said, she expects a lot more from herself, so already, you know,
definitely
a professional in that sense. So we are going to be kicking off a little bit of women's game here. The big games happening everywhere except for the IWFL, which kicks off their playoffs June 28th. The first round of the playoffs, Energy taking on Phantoms, Phoenix Phantoms, and then you've got Madison. It's going to await the winner of Houston Energy and Phoenix Phantom. And in the mix was two undefeated teams in the Atlantic Division on June 28th between Pittsburgh Passion, which is undefeated in the season, versus Keystone Assault, same division. Apparently they did not get to play one game against each other. So this is the reason that the Mid-Atlantic Division tiebreaker will take place. The winner of that matchup will face, at that point, will go into a July 14th. The winner there will get the bye, basically. And they will face the winner of the New York Sharks and Carolina Phoenix. So that's how it works up in the 2014 IWFL playoffs. So we got Sharks, Phoenix, former champs, last year's champions, the Carolina Phoenix, get a chance at the historic New York Sharks, who won their 100th game this season. So the Sharks are hungry for a return to a national stage. Carolina looking for back-to-back titles. The national championship takes place July 26th. It's going to be down south in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And the first round of the playoffs start on June 28th. Conference championships are going to take place July 14th. And the Women's Football Foundation Championship Week, it's going to take place on July 23rd and 26th in Rock Hill, South Carolina. You can get all the details following the IWFLsports.com. You can also go to Twitter at IWFL for the details. So it's going to be kind of exciting, Erica. It's like down to the wire in the women's game in the U.S. So a lot of teams in contention now. Some of the teams were very undefeated up to this point. It's win or go home. So that's kind of the feel right now in the Independent Women's Football League.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just thinking, win or go home. I mean, it's exciting and I imagine nerve-wracking all at the same time. But that tiebreaker sounds like it'd be a good game to watch for sure.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they will have it on PittsburghPassion.com. They end up streaming their games as well. So I'm pretty sure they'll probably stream that game. It's a very important game. And so we can follow up on that and see if Pittsburgh's going to do the tiebreaker game on June 28th. On a stream mode, and that would be exciting to watch as well.
Yeah, for sure.
The other big news is in Guam, the Bud Light Guam Women's Tackle Football League Latte Stone Championship Bowl happened Saturday, June 21st, and it was the former champs, Team Legacy, taking on Steel Blazers, and the Steel Blazers fall to Team Legacy. Team Legacy wins and claims their third championship in the league. And the league's only been around, I believe, 4 years. So they've claimed pretty much every title since it was basically founded. Legacy took home their third title, defeating the Steel Blazers 12-8. My notes are just bad right now. My writing's bad. 12-8 in the Latte Stone Championship Bowl last night at Hal Chamorro Field in Guam. It was Steel Blazers picked off by Cassandra Tahaye, and obviously Olivia Flores was the MVP of the match, and pretty much a defensive battle. It was basically 12-0, and then the Steel Blazers ended up mustering a score to kind of make it close, but a little too late, basically. So Olivia Flores seals the victory with an interception with about 8 seconds left, and all this information you can find at GuamPDN.com, or you can follow them on Twitter @Guam_sports as well as @GuamPDN for the details. So congratulations to Team Legacy for their third championship in a row. Another team that's seeking a third, almost a fourth title in a row is going to be happening up in the Western Women's Canadian League, and this is this weekend. And the playoffs start off already. Four teams remaining, the Edmonton Storm, the Lethbridge Steel, the Saskatoon Valkyries, and the Regina Riot. Riot versus Valkyrie. We'll get the results up for you guys as soon as the WWCFL site and our network pulls up the information. It's going to be, if the Valkyrie moves on to the championship, they are going to be seeking a four-peat. Not a three-peat, but a four-peat. Pretty exciting up in Canada.
That is exciting. Talking about, dynasties. I mean, when you get into repeating, three, four times, you're definitely a dynasty at that point. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so they're looking for a good battle. Edmonton is kind of trying to rebound from a previous season of missing the playoffs. Lethbridge has been in the playoffs almost every season since the inauguration, but they've lost to the Valkyries, so they're looking for, obviously, a rebound, and hopefully it'll be a different thing. Regina and Saskatoon are kind of like very big rivalries. So you can equate to like New England, New York, Jets type mentality, big rivalry. So they've seen each other in the regular season, and they're meeting in the playoffs. So it's like Regina's trying to get over the hump to beat the champs, and they have been able to do it in the regular season. And unfortunately, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it in the playoffs. So
those rivalries are exciting when those teams meet up in the playoffs. for the fans, it's always pretty. It adds a little extra something there when they meet in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, do you know if Jeanette's on yet?
She is.
Okay. Let's put her on. Let's bring in Jeanette Gray of the World Champion Chicago Force into the No Joke Football Huddle. The No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. You can get your gear customized anywhere, anytime, 24/7, internationally as well. So let's bring on the world champion wide receiver and All-American, Jeanette Gray. Jeanette, how
are you
doing today?
Great.
We're
how
doing
are you?
Fantastic.
We're good.
Good. I've loved listening to your show so far. Very exciting time for women's football right now, all these playoffs going on.
Yeah, and, you know, and not just in the U.S. That's why I was telling Erica, it's, you know, since we started communicating and networking with a lot of people, you get to see that not just in the WFA, IWFL, but you're looking at, you know, the WWCFL in Canada, the Maritime in Canada. You've got the CIFA, AFAF, the Italian League now growing. You got the BAFA women in UK. You still got mm-hmm. the Gridiron Australia that's going to grow their teams and getting them ready for the 2017, tournament. So a lot of it's an exciting time for the women's game. It's growing in a fast paced level.
It is. You know, we've been real fortunate this year to have a little bit international flavor on our team. We've got a player from the Canadian women's national team playing for us, and two young ladies from the Finnish national team playing for us. So gives our team a little bit of a world taste, and it's been really cool to hear, you know, about their experiences and their leagues overseas and then, of course, over in Canada. So it's been an exciting year for us.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people tell us, do you ever sleep on Twitter? And we can't sleep on Twitter because when it's sleep mode in the U.S., it's daylight in Australia and Europe. So, unfortunately, we don't sleep. Well, we do sleep, but, you know, it just makes it seem like we don't sleep. But
yeah.
Overall, Jeanette, tell us a little bit about the season. Monster win yesterday against the Mayhem. You know, you had a little bit of a bumpy road the mm-hmm. previous couple weeks there with some injuries. You were playing backup, and then you had another backup quarterback to put in there. I think Bergman was in there as well. You got a good running game with Leslie and Hatcher. So tell us a little bit about the Force. You got the bye week kind of healed up a little bit and getting ready for the run, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty fired up, you know, second season, and you know, everyone, you know, going to that game yesterday playing Western Michigan, they gave us a tough go at it a few weeks ago. And, you know, we prepared like we would for any game and knew they'd bring their best, as, you know, every team we play brings us their best game, and we have to constantly be prepared. But we have gone through quite the road this year. I mean, injury after injury, you know, Sammy Gustafi, who's, you know, I'll say it, she's the best quarterback in the world. You know, she gets hurt, and that's going to affect your team a little bit. And, you know, not only from that real important position, but from a leadership standpoint. And so it changed the dynamic of our team, but we kind of have this, you know, next man in, and we've always got to be ready, constantly making adjustments, and just pretty lucky that we have a coaching staff that works so hard to put us in a position every game, no matter who's healthy, who's on the field, to give us a chance to win. And, you know, we lost that game to Boston in the regular season, a real good Boston team. And, you know, we knew we needed to make some changes. We needed to make some adjustments in how we approach some things. And I think we've done that to get us ready for these playoffs.
Now, Jeanette, tell us a little bit about how you were a role as a quarterback. Not too bad, not too shabby from what I hear. Tell us a little bit of how that went. Was it kind of a shocker in that sense, or did you get some rep time at all, or was it just thrown in and just kind of make your own adjustments?
You know, I started the game at quarterback a couple of years ago, but I'll tell you this, out of all the sports I've ever played, it's the toughest position in sports to play. And, you know, to go in and try to fill in for somebody like Sammy, it's impossible to do. But, you know, we have to change some things in our offensive package. You've got to run some different sets. I'm a different type of quarterback than Sammy is, and it was hard. But, you know, whole team jumps on board. Every play, we each have a job to do, and if we all do our job, the outcome is usually good for us. So it wasn't easy, And it's not my favorite thing to do, play quarterback, but, you know, whatever the team needs, we'll, you know, I'll bring.
Now, you've got a perfect running game going on right now. You got Hanser and Leslie of the combo. What do you see against Boston now? Boston hasn't had your – I mean, you had their number. Regular season number doesn't really mean much when it matters most in the playoffs. So at this point, I believe the matchup is I believe it's going to be you guys against Miami, and then there's a potential that you guys will meet once again in the obviously the pre-final. So that's the projection that's going on right now. But let's look at Miami. Miami, tough defensive team all year. Everybody thought the Inferno was going to just, you know, breeze through the season. They were undefeated, but they get ousted, you know, against Phoenix, tough Phoenix team.
Right.
They play very good defense. So now Miami just squeezed by 9-7, a big, tough defensive game from what my notes are and from what we hear. So at this point, what do you think of Miami at this point? Defensive game, they've only allowed 7 points. They're averaging only 12 points allowed. So it looks like they play some pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously excited to, you know, earn ourselves another game to play here in 2 weeks. And Miami's an opponent that I know I haven't played against in my 5 years. So excited that we have, you know, a new opponent that we get to see. But, you know, I'll find out a little bit more at practice tomorrow about who they are, just because, you know, we haven't played them. I'm sure Coach is in his home right now going over film, hours and hours of film. But, you know, we will prepare for them just like we prepare for any teams. We'll watch film. We'll do, you know, a bunch of stuff in our practices these next 2 weeks, which is nice to have 2 weeks to prepare for teams at this point in the season. And, you know, just excited to play, excited to have another opportunity on the field. Excited, you know, we're still alive and get to play another game. Looking forward to being on the field against them in a couple weeks.
All right, awesome. Erica, you got any questions for Jeanette?
Yeah, so I saw on your Twitter page that you're also a high school math teacher, right, and a personal trainer. And so I was curious, that's just a lot of stuff. And I know with school being out now, it's probably a little bit of a relief for you. But how do you stay so that you don't go crazy with all of that? Do you have methods or, you know, a huge PDA that you organize everything with?
Yeah, and being organized is huge. But, you know, the people that I work with at I work for Sports Performance Studio, they constantly tell me I must have 26 hours in the day to work with, but it is easier with school out. But, you know, basically my day is get up, I'll work out before school, try to teach some math to some teenagers, and then right after that I go and I'll train clients till about 7 or 7:30 at night. And the fun thing is I don't really feel like I work. I love both things so much that I have a passion for both. I have a passion for education. I have a passion for performance and wellness. And so it makes the days fly by. It makes for long days. This is for sure. But, you know, and then I love football, too. So, you know, just the love of all three things and the passion for all three things makes it really easy to do.
Yeah, that's nice when you love what you do. Are there lessons you've learned in football that you try to pass on to your students?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been through a number of, you know, different things that have been difficult for us, whether it's, you know, an injury or just, you know, a situation in a game. You know, it's 3rd and 15 and you need a first down. And, you know, just the adversity things are huge. And that's something that sport can teach and I can carry over into the classroom with the kids. You know, they're not used to things being hard sometimes, and sometimes when they come up against hard things, they quit because, you know, they don't want to try. And what they got to realize is on the other side of trying that, they're going to see some success some of the time. And it's okay to fail. You know, we lost the game this year. It's okay to fail. So, you know, there's a ton of things that carry over back and forth, which is nice. It is really nice. And the kids get a kick out of the fact that they're math teacher plays tackle football too. So it's a fun dynamic for sure.
That's cool. Your students are lucky to have you. I wish I would have had a cool math teacher like you when I was in school.
Sometimes personality makes all the difference in that class sometimes.
Yeah.
Because not everybody likes
math. It's a hard subject. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jeanette, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Chicago. You guys are going to host the national championship. Seems like exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to be either in it or you guys are going to be hosting. Either way, you're going to be in it. So how does that how does that equate? I know it was a long process and trying to get the field, and I believe it's an upgraded field now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's a pretty historic field from what I understand. It's appeared in a couple movies. At Lane Tech there. You know, we're obviously real, real excited to host the national championship and show WFA Chicago, you know, to the teams that haven't been here. And what a great city Chicago is. You know, it's one of the best. It gets cold in the winter, believe me, but during the summer it's a great city. You've got the waterfront and just so much going on from neighborhood to neighborhood, you know, to the touristy part of Chicago. But we, you know, obviously we want to be playing in it, you know, it adds a little bit different, I don't want to say pressure, but maybe that might be the best way to describe it, type of pressure to each and every game, in that you don't want to see another team compete for a title in your city. And so we got that driving us a little bit, but we are definitely excited to host it. Our ownership will do a great job, as they always do. They're second to none. So it could be a really, really good weekend.
Now, Jeanette, only 8 touchdowns this season. Did you slack off?
Oh, what did you say?
I said only 8 touchdowns this season. Were you slacking off?
Well,
I'm kidding, of course.
Touchdowns, you know, it depends on the play, depends on the game, depends on the opportunity, and you take them when you can get them. You know, I'm pretty lucky that I play with so many great players. So we've got a number of people that can make plays. And, you know, we had a player yesterday that scored, I think caught her first touchdown pass, and she was so, so excited. And as a vet, she's a rookie this year, as a vet, that's exciting to see, because that kind of sparks the interest a little bit more in those young players. So hopefully that'll keep them playing. And I'll keep this game growing.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just joking with you, because you normally average a very good average in terms of yards. So, and then you obviously had to fill in for you know, for some extra duties. So that kind of limits your numbers as well. But being the best receiver, I we consider it probably the best receiver in the WFA at this point. I think it's okay. 8 touchdowns is good.
I'm so lucky, you know, to play. What makes that happen is, you know, we've got, I think we had 4 offensive linemen that were on the women's national team last summer, and of course, we got the Sophie under center. So that really makes, and we like to pass. We pass a lot, so that makes playing receiver very, very, makes it a little bit easier, and it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, you know, like I said, that 66-0 kind of doesn't tell the story in a game, but the end score is all that matters. And so you're moving on. So against Miami at this point, tell us a little bit about the experience in Vonta, Jeanette, since we didn't get a chance to really talk Vonta.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the experience in Vonta and how that went.
You know, it was. I think it was a year ago today that we checked in for minicamp. And it was 2 weeks of, in my opinion, being around the best group of women's athletes that I've ever been around. And I know it made me a better player, because, I mean, you have to compete at such an elite level at every rep and every practice. And you're around 45 women that, you know, we don't get paid to play this game, but they play just because they love it. They play because they want to be challenged. And it just was such an uplifting experience from the day I set foot at tryouts in Austin in January to really to this day, because I still am in contact with a number of those players. And it's kind of, you develop this sisterhood of, you know, representing your country. The expectation going in is we're going to win the gold medal, to helping the game grow. And it's you know, it, you, when you look back at pictures and you see that USA on your helmet and you see that USA on your jersey, and we got to play on the 4th of July, it definitely tugs on your heartstrings a little bit. And, you know, I wish every athlete could have an opportunity to represent their country, because it definitely changes the way you look at things, for sure.
Now, Jeanette, the World Championships, in your point of view, was there improvement this tournament? Because a lot of people said there was improvement on all the squads. I mean, the scores don't reflect
yeah.
that, but it should show that obviously there was a lot of heart on the European teams,
mm-hmm.
besides Spain,
mm-hmm.
which was new on the scene. But overall,
right.
I think the rest of the teams are pretty much normal teams. Did
mm-hmm.
you see much improvement?
You know, from what I understand, there were, you know, more creativity on offense, some better athletes on those other teams. And, you know, Germany ended up scoring against us, which was the first touchdown we'd given up in either World Games. And, you know, all those teams, which was really cool, they all want to play. They're also interested in getting better, and they want to learn from us, and they want to learn our game. And kind of it made you – I mean, we had to be ambassadors for the game and represent the game well, and it was, you know, from what I understand, it was more competitive. You know, the experience over there, from the hotels to the to where we got to eat and the practice and all that stuff, everything was run great. You definitely felt like you were involved in some type of really, really important event. So it was very cool.
Yeah, and IFAB now really being involved in putting the tournament together, and now you got Football Canada as well as Team USA Football sort of in a, you know, structured mode with the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to boast well for 2017. It's going to be more excitement, and hopefully, you know,
mm-hmm.
they can get the tournament maybe on ESPN3. You know, that would be
right.
a huge accomplishment to put it on ESPN3.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it all the time, you know, what it's going to take to get this game to grow and make more awareness for it, and obviously we need exposure. And, you know, I'm biased probably, but what a cool thing to watch a group of women play football against countries around the world. And I don't know what it would take for ESPN to do that. I don't know who needs to talk to them, but I think the response would be huge. I think it would just be a springboard for getting, you know, more games, obviously our national championship games on ESPN3, but maybe getting some more games, some coverage, if not nationally, locally, because that's what we need. We need exposure. We need people to buy into what we're doing and take the game to the next level.
Yeah, and, you know, we started the No Joke Football Project about a year and a half ago. It's still not
mm-hmm.
complete. We're seeking sponsors as we speak. We're working with, you know, photographers. We chatted on Twitter about the project and how that would be beneficial, the slogan. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to make a social impact. We have all the tools. Everything's free,
mm-hmm.
even advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of bonding, getting together. I mean, Adrian Smith got, you know, Gridiron King, Queendom. You've got
mm-hmm.
the Tackle Growth Project. So there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of pieces out there from a lot of people. And at some
mm-hmm.
point, to your point, it should come together to make some
mm-hmm.
sort of, you know, an awareness situation. So hopefully
mm-hmm.
that's going to be the case. But I think, you know, 2017 is not too far off. And it's very exciting to know that Australia – is like a buzzing mode hub for women's tackle football.
Mm-hmm.
You got England with the BAFA women. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
it had existed previously in Germany and in Sweden and in Finland, but now it's
mm-hmm.
in Italy. So
yeah.
internationally, you got Guam as well. So there's an
mm-hmm.
international push for the game, and I think that's going to help everybody, including the WFA and the IWFL.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see you know, what happens, and hopefully the momentum of the game keeps going and it keeps growing. And, you know, we hope, you know, we hope that the games are more competitive. We hope they're closer, because that's what people want to see. You know, they don't want to see 70-0 blowouts. It's not, that's not fun to watch for anybody. And, you know, as the game grows, we hope to see, you know, games be closer. We hope to see them be more competitive. And, you know, I think that, you know, a little bit deeper level helped the game grow as well.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you have a system. I think a lot of times people don't realize it, but you do have a system in place right now in the WFA. And I think you have a tier one level squad and you have tier two level squads. And I really think that that's the case right now. You have yourselves maybe on a tier one. You got Boston on a tier one, San Diego, the Majestics and the Angels. You know, the Titans are a tier one. And then you have the tier two teams, which is probably, you know, the Outlaws, the Divas, the Fury. So if, when you put it together, yeah, there is a separation, a gap in there. But as you get closer to the third round and the fourth round of the playoffs, it's usually sort of evens out like it did last year. So the first two rounds are usually pretty sloppy, as they say. But then as you get to the heat of the moment, it's things get a little tighter.
Yeah, and, you know, we made a push this regular season. You know, we upgraded our schedule. We went on the road and we played DC Divas. We went on the road and met at a neutral site to play Boston. You know, our DC game and was very, very close, and our Boston game wasn't quite as close. But I think those are the games in the regular season that women's football needs, and it's good for women's football to see two, you know, competitive teams play each other on a regular basis.
Yeah, and, you know, to your credit to your team and credit to the ownership in Chicago, you guys do a wonderful job on Twitter, on the feed, on Facebook, as well as Force Game Day as well. So it keeps everybody engaged, makes you guys, your promos are top-notch, you know, for you know, pregame promotions, showcasing your players, your top-notch players, you know, your opponent coming up. So you got to give yourselves a pat on the back for some pretty good marketing, and you guys have done a good in terms of social media buzz.
Yeah, we've got a lot of awesome people behind the scenes that do more than I think we know that they do, as far as from game day setup to all that promotional stuff that everyone sees. And, you know, I imagine we only see the tip of the iceberg, and they're putting a lot more hours in than we really know. But, you know, couldn't be more thankful, you know, for that. I mean, that's the front door to our organization, and it looks great. It's classy. It's informative. And it represents, you know, what we're all about real well.
Now, Jeanette, I'm going to put you on the spot here. On the other side, we got predictions, so I'm not going to make a prediction for you because obviously you're facing Miami. It's going to be a tough battle. So let's get predictions for you in this round that's coming up. You got Boston taking on DC, which you've seen both. Now they will clash, and one of those will either face yourself or the Fury. So Boston Divas, you know, Divas always tough. They play very tough ball. Boston, similar style to you guys, and very offensive-minded in a lot of ways with a good running game. What do you think of, obviously, you got Cahill running the show there. What do you think of Boston, D.C.?
I think it's going to be a really cool – I mean, I think it's going to be a really close game. You know, I don't know if I can make a prediction for you because I'm going to make somebody really angry. You know, but their last game was very, very close, and came down to a play at the very end, I believe. And, you know, I know players on both sides that are very, very excited. This would be the third time they've met each other this season, and with Boston walking away with wins both times. But that's a game that's going to be really good for our league and this game. It's going to be close. I don't know. Like I said, I think if I pick one, I'm going to put even a bigger target on our back. So I can't do that to my teammates.
All right. So we're not going to put you on the chopping block because that would be unfair. But I will go I will be the bad guy, I guess. I'm thinking Boston will edge. You got you know, some major firepower there. Not to say the Divas aren't tough and all, but It just, history shows that they've always seemed to come up short and against a good, mm-hmm. solid Boston team. I don't think Boston's going in there to lose. And so mm-hmm. I would have to give Boston just a slight edge. Like you said, it's very competitive, both squads. They play very good ball. And, you know, if I said anything different than that, I think, like you said, it would be bad. So let's just say Boston edges D.C.
Okay.
Let's go to the other side. Kansas City Titans, mm-hmm. you have been on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they faced any real major competitive, not putting them down or anything. But I think mm-hmm. Houston will be a challenge, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to face, I think, the Outlaws. They beat Houston soundly, so now they get to face the Outlaws. So Austin barely 14-3 over Tulsa. So I'm thinking here I'm going to have to give the edge to KC because they've been on a hot streak.
Yeah, they've had a great year. You know, Katie Sowers playing quarterback for the first time, and she's had a great year. I think she leads the league in touchdowns. I think, you know, they've kind of had a little resurgence this year, and they went undefeated, I believe, in the regular season. So they're always a team that was, when they were the Tribe, that was a very, very big rival of ours, and we battled for years and years. So we know a lot about that.
Yeah, and you got Kaylee Knutson, who's put up some good receiving numbers as well, 419 yards,
mm-hmm.
and her to her credit, also 8 touchdowns on 20 receptions. So
mm-hmm.
they're obviously an offensive threat, big-time offensive threat. So
yeah.
Let's move on to somebody that you know very dearly, and you already played them once, the San Diego Surge.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday they took care of Las Vegas. Also,
mm-hmm.
kind of soundly. They were very competitive for about 2 quarters, and then they kind of just ran away with it. So San Diego is our good friend and good friend of the show, Mr. Scott McCarron's Seattle Majestics. Seattle's mm-hmm. had a good run, 7-1, almost 8-1 technically now. They beat the War Angels. So Seattle, San Diego, where do you think lies there?
You know, Surge beat us 2 years ago, and, you know, when we played them 2 years ago in Pittsburgh, they were an amazing football team. So, so very good, so very sound. And, you know, I don't know too much about, I know a couple players on that Seattle team, but I don't know too much outside of those few players. But I think the Surge, do they have to go up to Seattle for that game?
I believe so.
San Diego. Okay, I thought I saw that today, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
You never know with the travel. I mean, playing on the road is always, always tough. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think the Surge, they're kind of on a mission this year to get back to that national championship game. They weren't very happy. They weren't in it last year. So, I might have to give them a little bit of an edge.
Now, you do remember that game, the first game.
Oh, yeah.
And now you remember the title win as well. So they're a very young team. I think they've only been in existence for a couple of years. They have a good solid foundation, just like your franchise does. So it would not surprise me, not that I want to put Scott's team down. I know they're going to fight hard, but it's a big challenge for Seattle, I think. It's probably the biggest challenge for Seattle this season. And if I had to give the edge, which I know Scott's going to murder me for this, but I'll have to take the Cali motion, which is I'll take the California team. It's going to be a tough battle, and if Seattle surprises me, oh, well, I guess I'll get my whipping eventually here.
Anybody can win.
Majestics. Yeah, Surge Majestics. I think it's going to be a classic. I think it's going to be a very good battle. I'm not saying the Outlaws are not going to play any better, but Kansas City, just a lot of firepower there. And it's going to be exciting to see who comes out of Surge Majestics, and now you're going to get to see the Titans' real test in that wing, because if they get past Austin, they're going to have to face one of those two teams, and that's probably going to be the Titans' biggest test. And Katie, like to your point, she's played an amazing season. As first year, I think she's quarterback rating is like 133.6 or something,
yeah.
19 touchdowns. She's only thrown like two interceptions the whole season. So, you know, credit to her and her team. And, you know, obviously they didn't let Liz play for whatever reason, logistics. But, you know, bottom line is they're rolling. They're having a good season. And the expectation is they're going to meet probably one of the best teams in the West Coast for you know, to go to the national championship.
Yeah, it'll be an exciting month of football coming up. You know, every team's going to be tested, probably a lot tougher than they've been tested at any point in the year. But you know, but the good thing is you play the games. You know, on any of these days, any team could win. Anything can happen. So it's going to be some exciting football coming up for sure.
All right, Jeanette, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it. Continued success. We're going into, you know, against Miami here. You guys are basically, you know, one step away from, you know, going back to the national championship in your hometown. So we wish you success. You know,
thank you.
Stay injury-free. And say hi to Sammy for me, to, you know, Darcy and Miss Hatcher out there, which I'm on Twitter all the time with her. So, you know, congrats to the girls out there for their efforts and the defensive line as well. And so we wish you, you know, some continued success. Win or go home against Miami. That's going to be the theme.
Yep. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you do for the game. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Jeanette, for your time. I appreciate we'll be in contact. Enjoy this Sunday afternoon. Thank you for making the time. And me and Erica appreciate all you do for the women's game, as well as making time for us today.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
That.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye. You too.
Have a good night. Bye. So, Erica, there is the equivalent of a Jerry Rice, as close as you're going to get to a woman's tackle football. She is literally that an amazing player.
Yeah, I loved listening to her. She seems she's awesome. I love listening to her and. Very well spoken, and it was really cool. I talked to these women, and I wish I could, you know, see them play, and because I feel like it would give me a better sense of who they are, and everything. Yeah, that she's awesome.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, she's about as historic as you're going to get in the women's game. You know, she's on Team USA, one of the championship teams. She's won two tournaments. World champion in that sense as well, national champion with Chicago last year. She's looking for, you know, back-to-back championships with the Force. You know, she talked about Sammy Grassoffi, probably one of the best quarterbacks. If you want to put her into a Tom Brady mentality, in that aspect of it, pretty well, you know, player. And so they're going to host the national championship. How exciting is that?
That is exciting. It would be even better for them if they were in it. You know, on home turf like that, that would be really special for them.
Yeah, and I mean, if they run the table, and like she said, they faced San Diego once, and they got beat, and then they won again. So they're no strangers to facing San Diego. You know, and San Diego is it's going to be a tough matchup for Seattle, but I know, you know, Scott's got his team focused on them now. It's a big hurdle, and he knows it, and he knows he's facing a very equal opponent. So, Scott, if you're out there, sorry, buddy, but it's just predictions. You know, you still got to play the games, so don't burn me yet.
Yeah. Now, is Sammy out for the season?
No, actually, she was back. She's back now. She was out with an injury.
Oh, she is back, okay.
And,
okay,
so she's
I wasn't
back,
sure if
yeah.
she was out. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
she was out for
then.
A small period of time, like a couple weeks. That's why Jeanette had to fill in. And then the third back quarterback as well had to fill in for her during that time. That's when they ended up losing one game, like she says, because obviously you have to make adjustments and things just don't pan out as normal. So it's a tough position, like Jeanette says, to play quarterback.
Yeah. It seems from everything I've watched and studied, it there's a lot there. And then you have, not only do you have your positional responsibilities and athletically, but you have the leadership role. Additionally, that's there. So there's just a lot to handle. So I imagine, it would be a lot to kind of be thrust into that position all of a sudden would be pretty difficult.
All right. So Erica, you normally do rants. I will do a rant this time because the Redskins trademark is being retracted. Now, I don't know what Congress did, but obviously they did a fantastic job because you got to give them credit for taking this on and then stripping the Redskins from their trademarks. This is just so bad. I mean, it's just PR bad. Why would you mess with that? I mean, nobody cares. Nobody was offended. And even if somebody says they are offended, it's a small percent of people that are offended. So where do we go from here? Do we take the Redskins' name and let's just go to Texas right now. People, are you offended by calling the team Cowboys? Or are the girls offended because the team is called Cowboys and not Cowgirls? I mean, come on. Do we need to take it to an extreme level here? You know what I'm saying? That was just bad. I thought it was bad. When I read that, I was like, what? And everybody's making a scene, and obviously the Native Americans are in uproar. Come on. So what, how many college teams in the country? And how many international teams that have Indian names in them? How many high school teams have Indian names in them? Yeah, and how many baseball? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, come on. Don't go there, Oscar, but I'm going to go there. All I'm going to tell you right now is we have idiots in Washington. Highlight it.
Yeah.
Exclamations, whatever. Idiots in Washington. Oh, God, I don't know. Anyways, that's my rant for the day. I mean, come on.
It's funny. I read an article. It was really funny that the guy went through, and he said 14 NFL names that are just as offensive as the Redskins. And it was really funny that, you know, he was going through, and obviously he was being kind of ironic, I guess, and was kind of like got to the end and was like, okay, get over it. You know, this is silly. Like, you know, talking about the Vikings and the Buccaneers and even the Dallas Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, and he just went through and said, you know, why they're offensive. And it's like, if, you know, if they're going to open this door with the Redskins, then they're going to have to go all the way. And they're going to have to address the baseball teams and the college teams, like you said. And I feel like they're dangling bait in front of us so that over here they can do something really bad so that we're distracted. You know, I feel like this is the red cape type thing.
Yeah.
So.
And on that note, let's go to the debut of Chad Johnson in the Canadian Football League. Do you know how bad that is?
Yeah.
Chad Johnson returns to the Canadian Football League. Mr. Outspoken, former Cincinnati Bengals, you know, big-time standout. You know, he had a good 11 seasons in the NFL. And he also played for your Patriots for, you know, for a short period of time, as well as, I believe, Miami, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bengals.
He really didn't do anything in Miami to note of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson took the field in the Canadian League and had 150 yards. He only had a couple yards on here, but his comment was, quote, even though the field's wider, the dimensions are a little different, it didn't seem much different at all. Really, buddy? Really? Why are you north? Why are you north? You know what I mean? Come on.
I have to mention
he does play for the Montreal Alouettes.
Yes. Well, I did read that he caught a 13-yard pass, and that was it. That's all he did. 13-yard pass is all he did.
Yeah, and so there he is. That's all he needed to do. One pass.
Yeah.
That's all he needed to do. So, I don't know. Over the hill guy, he's had some off-the-field issues. We've talked about it before. You know, he's the first guy that claimed that he was going to be better than Jerry Rice. If you go back in time, you can probably quote him. And sorry to say, Mr. Johnson, but, you know, not even close to putting on the shoes of Jerry Rice. Not even close.
No. I know. I obviously the guy's got talent. I mean, we've discussed that. He's got the athleticism. What he doesn't have is the character. What he doesn't have is the ability to be a part of a team, because he puts himself above the team. He places himself as more important, and you can't succeed in a team sport if it's all about you. And that's really Chad Johnson's problem. Chad Johnson wouldn't admit it because he thinks everybody else is the problem. But there you go, Chad Johnson. You need to get over yourself, and you might see some success. But yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, and we're going to go into OTA soon here. We'll keep tabs on Chad Johnson and see how well he does in the Canadian Football League. We wish him well, of course. You know, no hard feelings here. You know,
no.
But at the same time, it's, you know, it's a point in his career where he's either over the hill or he's just going to be a contributor. So he contributed 13 yards yesterday in a loss. So we'll see how he does in his Canadian season, you know, as it goes along. I want to throw out there a shout-out to our amazing photographer that's working with us out of Philadelphia, New Jersey, Mr. James Johnson Photography, and to the ladies out there at Camera Lauren, and as well as NJ_Goddess for doing our No Joke Football shoot. You can go to our Instagram, check that out. You can go on our Twitter feed. You can go on our Facebook page. An amazing job by photo by James J. You can follow him on Twitter as well and on Facebook. So thank you for helping us out with the No Joke Football Project. We have the No Joke Football Project in the works. A couple more photo shoots coming up. We have one that we're working on to get to England, as well as another one in Spain. And then we're working with another one in Mexico. So slowly but gradually, we are making some strides. And great folks like him and the ladies helping us out with the apparel side of it. The No Joke Football apparel line is completely, we don't make any money. What we do is we design. The money that comes in, we put it back to another player to expose our brand. And that's our goal, number one, is to expose our brand. So once we get the exposure of the brand, once the revenue comes in, then we can commit to some, certain players that obviously helped us out over the long haul to make this brand expand. And the ultimate goal is to make people aware that women's gridiron, women's tackle football is a no-joke game. It's no joke. It's real. They play it. They play it as good as the men, if not better. It's on an international stage now. It's played in different continents around the world. So that's our statement, really. It's just the fact that, you know, people need to wake up and know that women can play American football at a high level.
For sure. And it's exciting. Just since I've been a part of, you know, this show, and I knew nothing about the women's game and really nothing about these athletes, and it's been really enlightening and exciting for me to learn about this and these women and what they do, and I have a real, you know, appreciation and gratitude and just all of those things for these women and really what they do and how they balance their lives. And I think it's awesome that the word's getting out there, and it just needs to keep growing. People need to become aware that these women are real athletes, that it's not, you know, fluffy and you know, it's because I remember when my first learning about it was when they had the halftime show, I think in one of the Super Bowls with the lingerie, and I think that's a lot of people's initial perception of women's football is that right there is how it debuted worldwide like that. I mean, that's my first experience, and people need to know that's not it, that's not what it's about, and I think that you guys are changing that perception, and it's a really good thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's two styles of games. You can mock one or the other. The bottom line, it's still women's football. And that's the reason we cover it, because it's relevant and it needs to be exposed on either end. One might be a fab over time, while the other one still will maintain its, you know, traditional value in that sense. So the bottom line is that we need to get exposed either way to make sure that people are aware that women do play American football.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to all the Women Football Alliance All-Americans. So basically what that means, Erica, these guys, these girls, these women – are the best players in the WFA for the 2014 season. You can go to the website, the Women's Football Alliance website at WFAfootball.net, and you can check out each team's all-stars. So they're basically pro bowlers in a lot of sense. That's what an all-star means in the WFA, pro bowlers for 2014.
Okay.
The Pro Bowl game will be played on the weekend of that weekend as well. So congratulations to everybody on every team for making the All-American nominations.
For sure. Yeah, congratulations. I'll be excited. I'm going to go check that list out. It'll be exciting to take a look at.
It's a great time. The other project we're working on in terms of getting exposure is we started a GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootballFund. Every dollar of the No Joke Football Fund on the GoFundMe account is going towards marketing and promotions. So there's nothing going on besides marketing and promotions. So if somebody's going to need some help as we raise the funds, each team, whether it be international, domestic, whatever, it has to be used for promotion and marketing. It cannot be used for anything else than that. The reason for that is because we need to break, we need to make headway with, some sponsorships as well as putting airtime. So as we grow the dollars, we need to strategize those as well with key markets to get the game noticed and each team that's relevant and that's making a good opportunity in terms of a franchise and it's doing well with their efforts. And they need a boost. As we grow the dollars, those dollars will be afforded to them. Sort of similar to what the Women's Football Foundation does right now. Ours is basically just as accumulation of dollars, we will see case by case and then distribute funds that way. So if you are inclined to donate, go to the GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootballFund. And that's going to be pretty much on, we usually post it on Twitter and on Facebook as well. So making everybody aware of that as well. One last shout-out here. Welcome back to Women's Football Talk, B.J. Coletta, who's going to be rocking. B.J. Coletta was the person that gave us the opportunity to showcase the show. She gave us the opportunity to be front and center and showcase the amazing women that play women's American football internationally as well as domestics. So hats off to B.J. Coletta for coming back. She's been fishing this whole time. That's what she tells us. So she's been living a very good life outside of doing her thing here. So congratulations to her as well.
For sure. How long was she gone fishing?
I don't think she was fishing the whole time, but she was gone for a good year and a half, I think. And she was the one that pioneered Women's Football Talk. It was the original radio show that showcased women's tackle football. And she played tackle football as well. So soon here, we communicated with her. We will see if we can get her on just to do an interview with her and kind of get her back in the groove. She's going to have her show back on as well, so we can't wait. And also thank you to @JanetTVFootball this weekend for all the updates, at Backseat Coach as well for giving us the updates, and to the WFA Football on Twitter as well for the updates. So a lot of networking, a lot of people. And so, Erica, you got anything for Gridiron Girls to watch out? I know we have the Shelby Osborne piece that's going on, and what else is going on there?
Yeah, just we have some things in the works, that will be coming up hopefully this fall. So just keep an eye for any Oregon Ducks fans. There's probably going to be something pretty big going on in Oregon. So that's just keep an eye on at Gridiron Girl Org Twitter and my Twitter as well, @PastFanGirl12. We're gearing up. We're getting ready for college football season, NFL. I'm getting excited to start doing my rants again. I feel a little lost not being able to record those. So we're excited.
Yeah, you're missing out. That's why I did the rant today, because I figured I'd take one one for the team here. We all love your rants. So as soon as the NFL kicks into gear, and obviously college football, we know you're going to be back in the spotlight, so we can't wait.
Yeah, for sure. My YouTube link will be on my my Twitter page as well. So, yeah, check it out.
Awesome. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio here. Leave a comment. You can always catch us on Twitter, like she said, @PatFansGirl12 or @GridironOrg on Twitter, as well as @GridironBeauty on Twitter, our Facebook page as well. Social media based, all of it, just get a hold of us if that's the case. And we cannot thank enough Block Talk Radio for giving us the opportunity and the platform, and as well as Greg Mitchell for Ulcom for giving us the podcast on his amazing website as well, where you can go check out major sports WWE and MMA action and updates as well. So thank you very much for everybody joining us today. We look forward to another edition of the Gridiron Blitz next week on Blog Talk Radio and at ultimatesportstalk.com. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.